I want to introduce a young man to you that I believe most of you know. He's been coming around a little bit since he was a little bitty feller. For the last, 14 years that Pastor Mark's been here? In case anybody's not aware, this is Mark's nephew, but yet, if you've ever met Mark's dad and you look at this young man, I think it's pretty obvious that he's related to Mark. What do you think, John Spearman? Think it might be a dead giveaway? I hate that there's no one at your home church today, that they're all here, but that's all right. We're glad to have you. You stay as long as you like. Do want to introduce Justin to you. You're starting back school next week. Is that when you're left?
In two weeks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I graduate in December.
Good man. Well, I'm glad we're able to get you here before school started back. Justin, you share what the Lord's laid on your heart.
I'll do it.
Lead the service, close it as you feel led.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. How y'all doing today? Y'all happy to be saved?
Amen.
Amen. I was just y'all singing that song, and I was thinking about, I woke up this morning, I had a crick in my neck. And I was just thinking, you know, in heaven, we ain't don't have any pain. You get to wake up, and you ain't don't have pain in your neck, in your back, or nothing. So it don't matter what you're going through today. If you're a Christian, you're promised better tomorrow. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you've been through in the past. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. You promised a better life tomorrow. And you can always look forward to that. Make it a lot better. So, I was preparing for this message. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday, actually, where the Lord really told me what he wanted me to preach on. And of course, as I told you, I think it was 6 months ago? Don't seem that long. It seems about like 2 weeks ago that I was here. But I told you I have, even from my first one, I have trouble with where I'm going to start. Like, I don't know what to say when I come up here at the beginning. I know the whole message. I know what the Lord wants me to say, but I have no idea what to say at the start. So last night, I was probably spent about 4 hours just sitting there thinking about what in the world I'm going to say when I get up here to open it up. And I get in bed, and I'm still sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, what in the world am I going to say? So I turn on the TV, and I turn on the Hall of Fame football, and there's Brett Favre. And he says something, and Brett Favre came through me once again, Justin. He came through again. This is what he said. Just listen to what he said. This is the end of his speech. This were his last words. He said, you know, in my whole entire career, I don't regret one thing. He said, we lost a lot of games. I threw a lot of interceptions. I made more mistakes than I can even imagine. But I don't regret one thing. He said, never one time was there when I didn't give it all that I could. He said, there wasn't one time that I stepped out on that field where I didn't give it everything that I had. And he said, I want y'all to think about this. He said, don't ever look back at your life and regret not doing your best. And whatever you do, don't ever look back and regret not doing your best. Because the best feeling that he said that he had up there was knowing that he gave that game absolutely everything that he could. Me and my dad had a chance about 2 weeks ago to go see one of our friends in the hospital, and they told him, they said, you got about 2 or 3 more days to live. And we had a chance to go see him, and I got to thinking, if it was me laying in that bed, and the doctor told me I got just a few more days to live, think about what kind of thoughts are running through your mind. I want you to put yourself in that situation. I've met a lot of people, and not one of them has walked up to me and said, Justin, I regret getting saved. I regret trying my best every single day to live my life for Jesus. But I've had people walk up to me and say, Justin, I regret going to them bars every weekend. I regret taking those drinks. I regret taking those cigarettes. I regret doing what I wasn't supposed to do for Jesus. But I've never met one person that's walked up to me and said, Justin, I regret living every day of my life for Jesus. That's not saying he didn't mess up. That's saying that he gave everything that he had for Jesus. And what I want each and every person in here to do is think about that day, if you have that day when you're laying in that bed and you got two or three more days. Did you give absolutely everything that you had to where you look back and you say, I don't regret one thing because I gave absolutely everything that I had to Jesus? What an awesome feeling that would be. That's not saying I didn't sin. That's not saying I didn't mess up every single day of my life. That's saying I tried my best to give everything that I had to Jesus. Because you know why? He gave everything that he had to us. What's another reason that we need? That's the only reason we need. He gave absolutely everything that we had, that he had to us. And we weren't deserving of any of it. Yet he's deserving of every single second of our life. And sometimes we don't give it to him. So Brett Favre came through for me last night. I want you to flip to Luke chapter 5. And we'll start right there. We'll read the first few verses. I mean, I'll just be honest. This is, if you haven't heard me preach any these last 6 months, that's okay, because I believe that this is the most important message that I've ever gave. If you haven't heard anything else, just hear this. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook a little bit and followed him. It says they forsook all and followed him. So here's the situation. Peter's been out all night fishing. Comes back to land, hadn't caught one fish. All y'all fishermen out there, y'all know how that feels. Sit out in the hot sun for 4 hours, and you go home empty-handed. So Simon's not having a good day. Out all night fishing, and he comes back, and he hadn't got nothing. But it wasn't like, I imagine, Peter wasn't out there saying, I don't care if I don't catch any fish today. It wasn't like he was out there on his boat not trying to catch fish. Peter was trying to catch fish. He didn't go out there just to go out there. He was out there trying his best to catch fish. But he didn't catch anything. So here he comes back to the shore. And the boat is empty. Verse 2, it says, and Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's right there at it. But the fishermen were gone out of them. The boat was empty. Because Peter was out washing his nets. So the boat's empty now. Ain't nobody in the boat. See what happened next? Jesus entered. The boat was empty, and Jesus entered into the boat. You know what the sad thing is? A lot of us are living kind of empty lives. You go to work, you come home, and you do it all again the next day. And for some reason, you go home every night and you just sit there and you're thinking, this can't be it. This can't be all there is. Something's missing. But I don't know what it is. There's something missing in my life, and my life seems empty. Something's missing. We're living empty lives with our job, our marriage, our school, or in general, our life. There's just something that's missing. And you think, this can't be it. You're trying your very best. There ain't no doubt about that. You're trying your best to live life. But there's just something that's missing. There's one missing link. See, when Jesus entered into the boat, they went out again and started fishing. Can I tell you that Jesus is the answer to your empty boat? Jesus is the answer to your empty life. If there's something in your life that you're missing, try putting Jesus in there. The boat was empty. Jesus entered. The same exact boat. The same exact Peter. The same exact net. And the same exact sea. Totally different results. Why? Because when Jesus enters into the equation, the whole situation changes. When Jesus enters into your life, your whole life changes. Amen. I want you to look at this equation right here. Some of us from Pelzer might not know the answer. We might not even know what's wrong with it. But that just... hopefully it looks a little wrong to you. Just look at it. Something is missing. That's how some of our lives are this morning. Something's missing. I want you to hold up the number that's missing. Please don't hold up the wrong number. Look, when you add that number, the whole equation changes. It makes it right. Just look at it. How much better does that look? Do you know what the number 5 is in the Bible? Anybody? Grace. Number 5 in the Bible means grace. See, when you add Jesus and His grace to your life, the whole equation changes. Your equation is not right. Your life is not right unless that number 5's in there. Unless you add God's grace to your life, there's something missing. Jesus is grace. Unless you add Jesus to your life, the whole equation is just messed up. There's something missing. But I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to let Jesus use your boat? Are you willing to let Jesus use your life? He's not going to make you invite Him into your boat, invite Him into your life. He's waiting on you to ask Him, to invite Him, to be willing to let Him into your life. See, the problem isn't whether or not Jesus is able. You know from reading His Word that He's able. And the problem isn't whether or not Jesus is willing to change your life. Jesus is willing to change your life, but our problem is we try life our way and not His. See, Christians have a habit. This is me, okay? We have a habit of getting saved back in 2006, and then we say, all right, I'm good, now I'm going to do life my way. Thanks for the ticket. We got a habit of saying, thanks for giving me heaven. I appreciate it. I'll see you then. And we try life without Him. Revelation 3:20, everybody knows it. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He's not talking to lost people. Jesus is talking to the church. He's talking to you and me. In the last days, he's saying, come on. He's standing on the door and he's knocking. Just let me in. Just let me into your life and I'll give you something that you couldn't give yourself. Joy and happiness and peace that passes all understanding. I've done a lot of things in my life just being 22, but nothing compares to the joy that Jesus brings me. Absolutely nothing. And I'm sure some people in here can testify to that. He's standing at the door of your life. Come on. Let me in. How sad do you think that makes him? That he gave everything that he had to you and you won't even let him in.
Amen.
Allow Jesus into your life and see how he can use you. I know what you were thinking. I'm 25 years old. How's Jesus don't use me? I'm 50 years old. How's Jesus don't use me? You don't know what I've done. How's Jesus going to use me? Abraham was 100 years old. Jesus gave him a baby. Imagine that. Moses was a murderer. You ever heard of Moses? Anybody? Moses was a murderer. He couldn't even talk in front of people. He stuttered. And Jesus used him. A murdering man who couldn't even talk in front of people. And he used him to split the Red Sea. Mary Magdalene, possessed with demons. Jesus used her. Paul, he says, I'm the chief sinner. That's what Paul said. The chief sinner. The biggest persecutor of the church. And look what Jesus did with him. Half of these pages right here are his. So don't say, God can't use me. That's the same exact God that used them. But you have to be willing to let him in. The common denominator between all those people, Abraham, Moses, Peter, and Paul. I didn't even mention Peter. He's filled with pride. He's full of himself. And Jesus used him. All those people have a common denominator. They were willing to let Jesus use them. They were willing to say, Jesus, come on in. He wasn't knocking at their door long because they let him in. And by the way, when you let Jesus into your life and into your boat, he's not only going to fill up your boat. Look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. See, when you're willing to let Jesus into your life, into your boat, he's not only going to fill up your boat, he's going to fill up your friend's boat, he's going to fill up your family's boat, he's going to fill up everybody around you's boat because you are willing to let him in.
Amen.
Amen.
He's not just going to fill up yours. He'll fill up the people around you. But are you willing to let Jesus use you? Number two, are you willing to obey him when you don't even understand why? Verse 4, it says, Jesus came to him and said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Jesus just got done teaching from Peter's ship. And he says, Peter, I want you to launch out and we're going to go back fishing. After Peter had been fishing all night, and didn't catch not one fish. Jesus said, come on, let's go fishing. How much sense does that make? How many people would have done that? I've been out there all day. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm not going back fishing. I imagine Peter was probably thinking, Jesus, you just stick to the preaching over there and I'm going to do the fishing. But you know what? Jesus has a way of kind of butting into your life. butting into your job, seeing if you'll let him in. Look what Peter said after Jesus told him to launch out and go fishing again. He said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." When are you and I going to come to the point where we say, "Whatever you say, I'll do it. Even if it doesn't make sense, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do it"? When are we going to come to the point in our life where we do that? "Nevertheless, God, this doesn't make a bit of sense, but because you said it, I'm going to do it." That's what Peter said. "This doesn't make a bit of sense, and I don't want to do it, but because you said it, I'm going to do it. Because I trust you. Even though it doesn't make a bit of sense for me to go back out fishing, and I don't want to, I'm going to do it because you told me to." And look what his first word to Jesus was. "Master." If Jesus is really the master of your life, you'll do what he says. If Jesus is really Lord of your life, you'll do exactly what he says. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my words." If you really, truly love Jesus, you'll obey him. That's not me. That's what he says. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." This one act of obedience toward Jesus changed his day. Didn't change his life. He had one more little thing to do that would change his life. About 2 minutes later. This one act of obedience right here changed Peter's day. What act of obedience could you perform today towards Jesus that'll change the course of your day? I can tell you what you already did. You obeyed him and come into his house. I'm sure the bed was comfortable this morning. But you kicked the devil right in the teeth and said, "I'm going anyway." Amen. And hopefully this one act of obedience by hearing God's word will change your course. Think if Peter would have said, "Nah, Jesus, I'm all right. I'm tired. I'm going back home. You do whatever you want to. I'll let you even have my boat. You can go fish if you want to, but I'm not going." Think if Peter would have said that. First of all, this story probably would never have been in the Bible. We'd never even heard Peter's name if he wouldn't have obeyed Jesus right there. We wouldn't even know who Peter was. Watch this. When God tells you to do something that makes zero sense, just start smiling. Because throughout this whole Bible, when he told people to do something that didn't make any human sense, what followed that was huge. He did something miraculous. When he told somebody to do something that doesn't make sense in your mind, but because they had faith and because they had obedience, God did something huge through it. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is living, a perfect life. He's rich. He's living in the city that he's lived all his life. He's got everything. And then here comes God. "Abraham, get out. I know you're comfortable right here, but I want you to get your stuff, get your family, and leave. Just go." He didn't say, "I want you to go here." He said, "Go. I'm not telling you where to go, but I want you to go." How much sense does that make? You go home today, and God tells you, "Pack up your stuff, take your family, and go. I'm not telling you where. Get in your car and go." How much sense does that make? Not one bit of sense. But because he did it, look what happened. Joshua chapter 6. God told Joshua and his people, "Listen, 6 days, I want you to go and march around the walls. One time a day, march around the walls. One time a day. Then when that seventh day comes, I want you to march around 7 times. And when you get done marching around 7 times, I want your people to blow the trumpet and I want you to scream as loud as you can." How much sense does that make? But God tore down the walls of Jericho because they did it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here's little David. Here comes God up to David. Hey, you see that big 9 foot tall warrior right there? I want you to take this little pebble in your slingshot and sling at him. How much sense does that make? He told you to go hit the rock with a pebble. How much sense does that make? You're going to say no. But because he put his trust in God, look what he did. He freed them from the slavery of the Palestinians. He did that through what David did. How much sense did that make to David? Not in our human minds, it didn't make any sense. And now here he is in Luke chapter 5 telling Peter, hey, go out and fish again when you hadn't caught nothing for the last 6 hours. Doesn't make any sense. When God tells you to do something that doesn't make any sense, smile and do it. Because what's going to come after that is going to be huge. He's proven it. If there's someone who we can trust out of anybody, who is it? It's Him. The God that hung the sun, moon, and the stars is the one that's talking to us. How crazy is that? That the God that did all this just wants to have a relationship with us. And oftentimes we just say, go on. I don't feel like talking to you right now. Psalm 2:12 said, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You want to know what one of the most asked questions, you can go look it up wherever you want to online. And you can just type in the first few words and it'll pop up. One of the most asked questions to Christians. If God is perfect, if God knows everything, why did He even put that other tree in the Garden of Eden? Why did He even put it there if God's perfect and He knew that Eve was going to go over there and eat it? Why'd He even do it? Let me tell you why. Because God doesn't want you to be a robot. He doesn't want somebody who has to obey Him because it's their only choice. He wants somebody that's willing to obey Him because we love Him. He didn't want Adam and Eve for it to be their only choice to obey Him and love Him. And He gives us choices each and every day to obey Him, to love Him with all our heart. He gives us choices, and we make them. He's not going to make you be willing to obey Him, but you have to be willing to obey Him because you can put your trust in Him. See, some people make you promises, and that doesn't matter. The reliability of the promise relies on the promiser. See, if somebody that you know lies all the time walks up to you and promises you something, what do you don't think? Whatever. But if God tells you something and He promises you something, He's going to keep it. God doesn't want a robot that has to obey Him. He wants someone that's willing to obey Him because you love Him. And He's asking you today, are you willing to obey Me even when I tell you something that you don't understand? When you walk out of here and you go eat lunch and there's somebody sitting beside you and God whispers in your ear and say, hey, tell them about Jesus. Are you willing to obey Him right there? And number three, and most importantly, are you willing to follow Him? Verse 11, it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Peter, James, and John left everything and they followed Jesus. They made Jesus number one in their life the rest of their life. They laid down their life for Jesus. They were all killed because of Jesus. But they gave everything that they had the rest of their lives to Him. What I'm asking you today, but what more importantly, what God is asking you, what Jesus is asking you, what that Spirit living inside of you that's speaking to you right now is asking you, and only you, are you willing to follow Me? That's what He's asking you right now. Are you willing to give everything that you have to Me? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, the first thing that comes after that is let him deny himself. Paul put it, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the life which I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you willing to give yourself to Jesus, either in salvation or in the rest of your life? Because I don't want you to come to that point in your life where you're laying there and you regret not giving everything that you had to him. Joshua 24:15. This is Joshua. The last moments of his life, the last few hours of his life, he turned to his people and said, you know what? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He didn't say choose tomorrow. He didn't say choose tomorrow. Choose next week. Choose next month. Don't choose next Sunday when you come back in here. Choose today. This was Joshua's last words to his people. I want you to choose today whom you're going to serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Is that your answer? Or are you going to wait till next week and maybe you'll give him an answer? Today, Joshua said. Does this mean you'll never mess up the rest of your life? No. Peter gave his life to Jesus right here, and we know he messed up. Everybody knows what he did. He did what he said he wouldn't do to Jesus. He denied him 3 times. So you're going to mess up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are you willing to follow him the rest of your life and make the rest of your life the best of your life? Or, like I said, you can choose. You have choices each and every day. You can choose to come to that point in your life and lay there thinking, I wonder what would have happened if I'd have gave everything that I had to Jesus. I wonder what he could have done with me if I'd have just let him use me, if I'd have just obeyed him, and if I'd have just tried my very best to follow him every single day. I wonder what he could have done. I don't want to come to that point where I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder what God could have done if I'd have just let him have me. And I want you to come to that point either. So choose today. You want to know what your first act of obedience is going to be? As the musicians come up, you're going to come down here. If God has been speaking to your heart to follow him the rest of your life, you're going to come down here and you're going to pray and you're going to give him the rest of your life. You're going to make a commitment today. You're going to choose today to follow him the rest of your life. And I'm going to do the same. We're going to try our best. You don't have to do it alone, because I'm going to be right there with you, trying my best to follow Jesus the rest of my life. There's one other thing you have to get in line if you're going to follow Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these people in here don't have life. If they were to die right now, I'm going to ask you right now, if you were to die right now, I want every head bowed and every eye closed right now. I'm going to ask you the simple question. You can go ahead. If this were to be your last day here, and then you're not 100% sure that if this were your last day, you might not make it home today. If this were your last day, and you died, if you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, I want you to lift up your hand. If you're not 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, lift up your hand. Amen. I take that as a testimony that every single person in here, if we don't see each other again, we're going to heaven. I see one hand back there. You may not know who the one hand is. I don't want you to open your eyes and see who the one hand is, but I want you to pray. As we all stand, if you want to follow Jesus the rest of your life, and if you want to give Jesus the rest of your life, all you got to do is take a step to the right or to the left and just come right down there and you can pray.